This is True Worldview Cafe, an analysis of news, cultural trends, and theological issues from a Christian worldview. True Worldview Cafe is brought to you by Shepherd Press, where you can find resources and materials for life, ministry, and family at shepherdpress.com. And now here's the host of True Worldview Cafe, author, biblical counselor, and cultural commentator, Jay Yonts.
And welcome into the program this Saturday morning. We're glad you're with us. We have an opportunity to have a special guest with me here today and on the phone, and we'll be talking with him in just a couple of minutes. His name is Dr. Sasha Vollekord, and you may have heard him before, but I'm just real pleased and honored to have Sasha with us. And what we're going to be talking about today is the importance of doing things God's way in our thinking. And perhaps, I guess you would have to have been under some kind of a large rock not to have heard the activities of the last couple of days since Thursday's ruling on by the Supreme Court on the healthcare issue of our country, where the Supreme Court ruled in an unexpected way. One of the conservative judges ruled with the more liberal judges and kept in place what is commonly known as Obamacare. And I've been listening to the political pundits and the people, you know, by and large, trying to critique what's happened. Actually able to listen to some of Rush Limbaugh in his Friday commentary. He's upset. Rush doesn't usually get this mad, but he feels mad, betrayed, hurt, those sorts of things. And what we want to look at this is from a biblical perspective, and the solution is not in throwing out the Supreme Court, getting a different president, having different elections going on, and all those kind of things, as helpful as those things may or may not be. The solution is for God's people to be thinking God's way and pursue things in the manner that God has said, where true change takes place. Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, talking about after Joshua has died, after that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, Joshua's generation, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. And not that the United States was ever the perfect Christian country, but there was a sense that we were driven by Christian perspectives. And again, as we've mentioned on the show previously, John Adams' famous quote, that the Constitution of the United States is fit only for the people, to the governed people it's going to be governing, for a moral and religious people, and it is fit for none other. What he means by that is people who have a biblical Christian perspective, those are the only ones that the Constitution is designed to govern. And if you don't have that type of people being governed, you will have an ineffective government. So what I'd like to do today is take advantage of what I'm going to call the man from the future. We're going to go forward here a couple of decades, and I'm going to bring Sasha Vollekord in. And Sasha is from Europe, grew up in Austria, has taught at the University of Linz, has multiple degrees in multiple subjects, a hockey player, a pilot, theologian. He's currently serving as a pastor at an OPC church in Ohio. His heart continues to long for Austria and the seat of the Reformation, and wanting to go back there, but there's been all sorts of providential things which have kept him from doing that, so he's serving the Lord now and still has that passion for Europe, bringing the gospel back to where our current Reformed Protestant perspectives began. But what I'm excited about is that Sasha is able to have his feet in both camps and give us kind of a perspective on where Europe is, where we are now. And I want to talk about it is not in light of all the political things that could or couldn't happen, and these debates must happen, but in light of where God is calling us as family. Sasha has one more, I think, helpful contribution to make and qualification. For the last several years, he's taught in a number of our colleges and universities, talking about law, talking about business ethics, talking about what it means to be a Christian and these types of things. And so he's seen our young people, and he's seen what's happened with the way that they're being raised. So without any more introduction than that, I just wanted to give you a feel for why I'm pleased to have Sasha on. Sasha is a good friend, and I probably value that more than all the other things that I've said. So Sasha, welcome into the True Worldview Cafe.
Thanks for having me, Jay.
It's great to have you here. And is it we're quite warm here in South Carolina. How's that up there?
Well, it's about the same. We are around 100 degrees, too, which is, especially for an Austrian, very warm.
Well, just take a walk up into the mountains, and you'll be feeling fine, I'm sure.
Yes, the high mountains.
Yes. Okay, so we have here this quote that I read from Joshua, from Judges, about Joshua. A whole nation had been gathered to their fathers. Another generation grew up, which knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. I think we have a country where you could argue we don't have the purest of biblical roots. We certainly have people that were influenced by a biblical view, a biblical worldview. And I think it's safe to say that I think you would agree as being on our soil now and as being a outside observer, that particular perspective is pretty much gone.
Yes, and it's sad to see that. I would definitely agree with that, that while there is still a lot of lingo in the Christian realm, and people talk about, you know, oh my God, and God bless you, and the name of the Lord is basically used in vain a lot. I think you have a right assessment there, that the foundations, the real roots in Christianity is basically gone.
And that foundation, as we've seen these attacks on the family, I think, again, from your legal perspective, I think what's happened now, and this may be a non-technical description, but what's happened to the family is it seems as though any collection of adults that you happen to put together, as long as you add a child to the mix, you now have a family.
Well, I think Christians have to understand that when we talk about enemies of Christianity, or when we talk about the political realm, we shouldn't get caught up too much in party or partisan politics.
Mm-hmm.
But there's basically only two realms, the realm of Christianity and the realm of secularism, or what I would call anti-Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So once we understand that, we will see that the realm, the secular realm, which is not neutral but anti-Christian, if you look at passages like Romans 1:18 and many other passages that only portray the world population divided into Christians and anti-Christians, you will see that the secular realm, the anti-Christian realm, has as its goal, as Romans 1:18 says, to suppress the truth in unrighteousness.
Right.
The family is a huge part of Christian culture. It's a huge part of Christianity. It's really the smallest cell within the population, and that's where we gain strength. That's where we get educated, which is very important for both realms, because we want to be educated in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And the secular realms, secular realm wants to avoid that decidedly, and that's why they're attacking the family.
So now, did you see? I guess you saw firsthand in Central Europe and Austria, where the family has been attacked and degraded in importance.
Well, of course. I mean, it has been the same all along throughout history, that the secular realm wants to harm Christians. And if you look at Germany, for example, where families who, for whatever reasons, want to homeschool their children are being put into prison, and their children being taken away from them and being raised by the government, then you get an idea of what is going on in Europe. And the official explanation why courts are doing this in Germany is, well, we don't want a parallel society, they say.
Hmm.
Well, my question is, a parallel society to what?
Hmm.
Well, and the answer we all know is to secularism.
So there is this, the battle, the Colossians chapter 2 talks about, that 2 Corinthians 10 talks about, there is a real battle. And so we need to be aware those phrases in those two chapters are not just absent phrases. They are meant to warn us, don't be taken captive by the world and its basic philosophies, which is what you're saying.
Well, and that is the very thing that, if I may be a little bit critical about Christians in this country, might have forgotten. That we're not here to rest, but we're here at war. And if we think that our rest is here, then we see exactly those things happening that we see happening, that the whole culture is slipping away from us, a whole generation is getting lost, because we have become complacent. All we want is rest and pleasure. But if we understand that there is a war that's not to be fought with material weapons, but with the word of God, with truth, with love, with kindness, when we understand that, things look different.
And you know, I think that's an interesting point. We can follow up on that in the segments coming up. But, you know, love, truth, kindness, those are weapons of war. Those are our weapons, and we tend not to think of them that way because they're not, we don't perceive them as violent. But in fact, these are the spiritual weapons that Paul calls us to use. We don't fight with the things of this world. We fight with these kinds of weapons. And so if you are truly loving, if you are truly truthful, if you are truly kind, you will be striking a blow, you know, against the forces of evil, and you will most surely get their attention. And so that's what's coming up in the next segment. So we've got just a few seconds before the next break. And very thankful here that my guest is Sasha Vallecord. You'll be able to come out on shepherdpress.com and see this interview, you know, after we finish. And we're just grateful, Sasha, you're here with us. So we'll be back in 2 minutes. And thank you for being with us on the True Worldview Cafe.
Would you please welcome the pride of Alexandria, Indiana, your host, Bill Gaither.
Hey, thanks, Bill, and welcome to Homecoming Radio. Do we ever have a great show for you?
You can hear some of the great Christian music you grew up with Bill Gaither's Homecoming Radio, heard every Sunday evening at 5 o'clock on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Don't we all want solid biblical resources we can trust when it comes to faith and family issues? Shepherd Press certainly qualifies. Shepherd Press is committed to providing God's people with solid biblical books and materials. They focus on heart issues rather than performance issues, authentic change that works from the inside out. At Shepherd Press, you'll find books, articles, and a regularly updated blog that will provide a forum for ongoing discussion of issues related to parenting and Christian living. For more information, go to shepherdpress.com.
If there are occasions when you need a day dry cleaning service, you need B&C Cleaners. If convenience, quality, friendly, and knowledgeable staff is important, you still need B&C Cleaners. Satisfying customers since 1959 in Greenville on Wade Hampton Boulevard at Church Street and at Hillcrest Cleaners in Simpsonville behind Coach House Restaurant. It's time to switch to B&C Cleaners.
You're locked into Christian Talk 660.
You're listening to True Worldview Cafe, brought to you by Shepherd Press. To hear interviews and find cultural and practical Christian resources, visit the website shepherdpress.com. And now let's continue with True Worldview Cafe. And here's your host, Jay Yance.
And welcome back into our program on this Saturday morning. Again, my good friend, Dr. Sasha Vallecord is here, and we're talking about things that impact the family. And as the family is impacted, the church is impacted. As the church is impacted, the culture is impacted. And so how are we going to make a difference in our culture? And as you know, the upset that has happened from the Supreme Court ruling this week on healthcare, folks are up in arms about those things. They're concerned. But there's true weapons that we have and the church has, which I believe are greatly underused. And that's what we want to talk about with Sasha. And Sasha, you've seen these things work out in Europe, and we've seen where those things have gone. But right at the end of the break there, you mentioned these weapons of warfare. Just to example, love, truth, kindness. As a parent, you know, I have five children. You have several children yourself. Our desire is to protect our children and raise them in a good environment. But the reality is, if we're not raising our children going to war, then we're setting them up to be defeated. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that, and I think we can start right now. Our children are watching us. And when they watch us, when we hear of that ruling that the Supreme Court just handed down,
mm-hmm.
will our children see us losing hope? Will they see us getting angry? Or will they see us not being determined by circumstances?
Wow, yes.
One of the weapons of our war is hope. And our hope is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is not in circumstances. And therefore, why should our children see us putting hope in in secular judges or in a secular president, whoever that might be, but they have to see us never losing hope because Jesus Christ is our real king.
Yeah, and I think that,
all of these things.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's a key point as well, not to go too far off base, but you're just to comment on that. In this election, I think one thing that is very clear is that there could be no doubt that this time neither of our candidates in any way, shape, or form represent what we would call a traditional Christian worldview with a traditional Christian biblical heritage.
I would very much agree with that. And, you know, at the end of the day, are we putting our hope in princes or are we putting our hope in the Lord?
Yeah.
And that's where we have to come from, and that's what our children have to see in us. That we're not growing weary.
Right, right. And I think that, again, great point. You know, as the Old Testament points out, you dare not put your hope in the horse. You put your hope in the power of God. So going back then to what you were just talking about, we have to raise children prepared to go to war, and you know, that, again, we don't like to do that in the sense of, you know, for our children, because we want peace, love, and happiness for them, time of security. But as I think you're pointing out here, and as you've seen firsthand, if we're not serving Christ and literally dying for him, there is no security.
No, there is not. And again, when the children see us getting desperate about what's happening in the world, and you know, there is plenty of doomsday talkers, even within the Christian camp, and they see basically the Antichrist everywhere, and they almost thrive on things going down. Well, how are we going to teach our children to take responsibility, to keep up the good fight, to be in arms, in the arms of the Spirit, you know? And if we constantly see everything go down the drains and we lament and we are defeatists, at the end of the day, we must not complain when our children lose hope as well and we lose a whole generation. I mean, we have to understand that Scripture applies to all areas of life. We
Amen.
Have to understand that our hope never has to go away because Christ will be always there. He's always our King.
So
and if we don't reflect that,
right.
We are very poor off.
So let me bust in here. So what you're basically saying, Sasha, is that if we look and are discouraged and have a discouraged attitude about what's going on around us, we basically lose sight of the truth of the Lord's Prayer. We cease praying for God's kingdom to come, and we just sort of become resigned to the fact, there is no hope. And Christianity is something that is thrived on hope now, a future hope to come, and you pull hope out of your faith, then you, in fact, have no message that is Christian at all. Is that correct?
I would say so, because, I mean, what has happened on Golgotha? What has happened when Christ said it is finished?
Mm.
What has happened? What is happening when why can we even pray, as you say, the Lord's Prayer? I mean, we don't want to be babblers, you know? We pray your kingdom come while we know it has come, and it will come even more. And now if our life reflects the opposite of that, now what do we expect our children? How do we expect them to grow up?
And then they
leave home and they see the world, and then they see, well, my home was very ambivalent. We always talked about Christ being Lord. We talked about God being in control, but actually we didn't live it. So, and then you see thousands of people, young people running around saying, well, Christianity is just hypocrites. And to an extent, I have to say we are.
Okay, now you could speak personally to that because you've seen the product of Christian homes in many of the college and university settings you've had to teach. Is that an attitude that you saw coming with these children as they came to college?
Yes, exactly. And many of those children come from homes where basically, yes, they go to church, they're forced to go to church, and you know, the issue is what they saw at home often, I think, and I guess, and I know from some conversations, or many conversations, their homes did not reflect, you know, what Christianity stands for. And then those parents think they send their kids off to, quote, Christian, unquote, colleges, and they hope that they straighten them out. But first of all, they can't do that. It's the job of the parents, and they will not do it. And that's another problem, that what we see as Christian colleges in this country is often, in and of itself, a heavy, heavy compromise. From my own experience, many of these Christian universities don't really understand what Christian education is themselves. They think if they put a five-minute devotional before a lecture and then teach a secular lecture, they think that's Christian education.
And obviously what we know from 2 Corinthians is that my mandate, both as a parent and as a teacher and as a citizen, is to take every thought captive for the Lord Jesus Christ, right?
Every thought. It doesn't matter if it's education, if it's economics, if it's mathematics. It all has to serve the glory of God, and it all exists because of God, and it all has to be thought according to God's will. So as Van Til said it, we have to think God's thoughts after him.
Yes.
So whatever I teach, in whatever class I am, my Bible is there open, and I have to refer to it frequently. Otherwise, I cannot derive anything. If I just have a five-minute devotional and then a secular lecture, well, what have I done differently than a secular university?
Yeah, and let's be clear here for the folks. A secular lecture can be defined as one where God is not honored. It doesn't matter who's giving it. If God is not honored, it's therefore a secular lecture.
Well, let me give you an example. Many Christian universities, as we know, have more of a conservative or even libertarian mindset. Now, if I teach economics and I teach free market economics, which I do, I teach free markets not because it works, although it does. I teach free market economics because the Bible teaches it.
Mm.
And there's a huge difference.
Amen.
And I also told my students frequently, we are not Democrats, we are not Republicans, we are not even Libertarians. We are Christians. Mm. We are a class of our own. And we need to be able to separate that, and we teach things because they're biblical, not because they are according to our political pedigree.
So you're actually saying that what the Bible says is that we're called to a very radical perspective on life. And you know, some folks get kind of confused when they talk about free markets because they see a lot of greed in a free market problem. The problem is not the free market. The problem is the heart of man has not been captured by God, and they use those markets for their own advantage. And so they get confused about those things.
Exactly. And also, I mean, what's the alternative to free markets?
Mm.
The alternative, there's only one alternative, government-run markets. Now, the same people who we accuse of being greedy in the free market, they're as greedy when they are in charge of government. The only difference is, in the free market, he has to serve me to get my money. And as a king or as a government, he just takes it from me.
Yes.
Now, where is he more dangerous?
Excellent point. Excellent point. And again, folks, I hope you're hopefully listening at home here. We're talking about economics. We're talking about political things. But we're talking about, you know, at the core of this basic Christian truth. If you just merely acknowledge that the Lord is the Lord, that it's his world, we're here to serve him, not ourselves. All of these things flow from that very basic principle. Correct, brother?
You're absolutely right. It's all about God. And the Westminster Shorter Catechism, in his question one, the catechism where we teach our children, asks, what is the chief end of man? And Jay, you don't know the answer, right?
I think so. It's to live for the glory of God and enjoy him forever.
Exactly. That's our goal. And people run around, Christians and non-Christians, constantly asking themselves, what is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life?
Mm.
Well, the meaning of life for every human being, for all creation, for everything there is to glorify God. That does make things a little bit less complicated.
It does. And let me translate the glory of God, because sometimes we have religious speak, and so we misunderstand. We think that the glory of God means some kind of a halo. And basically, the glory of God, living for the glory of God, means I live to enhance the reputation of the Lord God Almighty on this planet and everything that I do.
Amen to that.
So this is the perspective, then, that our children need to see in us. And, of course, as you've very powerfully pointed out, they're not going to hear it other places, are they?
No. It is decidedly, and by God's own will, it is the obligation and duty of parents. It's not the duty of nannies. It's not the obligation of whatever school system it might be. It is the duty of parents. And I want to refer to Deuteronomy 6, where God speaks once again clearly to Israel. And he first says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your strength. That's the invocation.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes.
Okay.
You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The parents are addressed here to teach their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Nobody else.
Amen. Okay, that takes us to the end of our second segment. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. I'll continue our conversation with Dr. Sasha Vollicord. And again, these things Sasha has just mentioned, that's what drives Shepherd Press and the materials that we produce. And so, again, I just want to keep that in front of you. We'll be back in 2 minutes, and keep listening. Thank you for being with us on this Saturday morning.
Substance abuse, inappropriate relationships, cutting, social media. Do these issues sound familiar? How about the biggest one of all, America's teens' declining interest in the things of God? These are just some of the challenges that parents and teens are struggling with in today's culture. Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry is a biblically-based half-hour weekly radio program equipping you with insight for today's culture from a biblical worldview.
Monday mornings at 11 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Thomas Jefferson.
Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever.
The Founding Fathers recognized the true source of greatness for the United States. Belief in a sovereign God and his unchanging principles for living. They knew that the health of a nation depended on the virtue of each citizen. As the 4th of July once again approaches, it's appropriate to celebrate our Christian heritage. And as we look to the future, let us remember and reflect on the legacy of faith that made us great. This word from our nation's past brought to you by Focus on the Family.
I'm Frank Levette with Healthcare Planners, and I know people that have lost 35% when the market crashed, and what I hear them saying now is, enough is enough. I've discovered a way to safely grow money, cut taxes, and participate in potential double-digit gains while having your money protected when the crashes come. Safe Money Millionaire is a book that shares a powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney use to safely grow their wealth. I'll send you a free copy. Just call me at 288-3546.
We're Christian Talk 660.
You're listening to True Worldview Cafe, brought to you by Shepherd Press. To hear interviews and find cultural and practical Christian resources, visit the website shepherdpress.com. And now let's continue with True Worldview Cafe. And here's your host, Jay Yance.
Thank you for being with us on this Saturday morning. Hope you're enjoying your perhaps second cup of coffee, and we're trying to give you a couple things to help you wake up and take notice of what's going on around us. I've mentioned this several times before, and I mentioned it in terms of the recent interviews I did with Ted Tripp. Our book at Shepherd Press, Instructing a Child's Heart, has much of the same material, stated a little bit differently, but these same concerns that Sasha and I are talking about right now. And I trust in the audience this morning, you can sort of sense the shared passion that both Sasha and I have for this particular area, because Sasha's seen firsthand what happens when the passage he just read in Deuteronomy 6 is not implemented. You see, it's said that the Christianity brings tyranny, but what true tyranny is, and before we continue, Sasha, you can comment on this, true tyranny is not having the Lord as your king.
That is absolutely true, because you will have a vacuum, and where you have a vacuum, you will put something else in. And that's where all the negative influences in society come in. If you don't have the Lord as your king, you have no orientation, you have no leadership, as it were, and then everybody does what is right in his own eyes, and we know what is in the human heart, and it will not be something that's good.
No, and we see more and more of that as we go forward. We see more and more of people trying to find things right in their own eyes, and things don't get better. There's just an increasing, you know, disaster of and really a tragic confluence of people trying to do things in their own way, sometimes even people well-meaning, but they think that they have to go their own route. They think that that burden lies upon them. But really, Sasha, as you know, that's a burden that no man can bear.
No man can bear, and especially the consequences of that burden. You know, when you live apart from the Lord, and when you live without the redemption, I mean, not only that, your life here is without any real hope, and you have to constantly keep the volume of pleasure up to not think about it.
Amen.
But the real consequences are on the other side. You know, when this life will come to an end and you have an eternity to deal with what you've done and with the sin that you had, that's something that is not, I think, said enough in churches nowadays, that there is a hell and there is consequences of sin, and that we're not talking about ideology here. We're not talking about, well, I'm a better person than you. We're talking about, you know, life or death. We're talking about heaven or hell. And with our desires as pastors to bring people in, this is a very good desire we have, but sometimes we tend to rub off the edges to make our churches very acceptable to the world instead of being an outside measuring rod for the world and leading them to Christ. And we only lead them to Christ when we tell them truth and lie and the difference without any hesitation.
And that's the point where we become a real refuge. If we just try and accommodate, we can't be a refuge. And so the compassionate thing is to say the truth. You know, not to be nasty or not to be unkind or not to be holier than thou, but if I'm not saying the truth, then I'm not being a refuge. The people in the world already know that they have issues. You just made a great point, and I hope it wasn't lost, so I'm going to restate it for you. But you said what our culture tends to do is to try and turn up the volume of pleasure to drown out the things that are there. So we are a nation obsessed with finding ways of pleasure, even in the middle of quote-unquote economic disaster. Certainly the commercials we see on television for various things seem not to indicate a poor and distraught nation, but, you know, the 70-inch TV screen is what is needed for happiness, because I can watch six things at one time at that point. So there is an interesting challenge there. Okay, getting back on track then, where you were at Deuteronomy 6, that parents to take the things, and the key concept there, Sasha, is the things that are impressed on the parent's heart. It's not just rules or rote or do this because I'm happy, but the stuff that has been deeply impressed on their heart because of their love for God, they're to give those things to their children. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, two interesting chapter 6s there, but in verse 4 of chapter 6, takes us a step further, and he says, "Fathers, do not exasperate or embitter your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, or the fear and admonition of the Lord," you know, the various translations from there. But don't embitter them, but bring them up God's way, which means if I'm not bringing the gospel, if I'm not bringing the hope of Christ, I make myself two things. I make myself a hypocrite, because there's no way I can be consistent with my own standard apart from God. And then the second thing that I do is that I teach my children that they can do well in their own strength. And that also is a black hole, and that will produce embitterment as well. And I think that your experience would bear that out as well.
Yes, and that's exactly what you see. I mean, and this is the sad part of it. I mean, people who are not Christians, they of course don't raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, but of the world. But it's even more sad when Christians, or so-called Christians, I mean, we kind of look into people's hearts, they claim to be Christians, and then they don't raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And those, in my experience as a college professor and as a pastor, that's a recipe for disaster.
Mm.
Because that's constantly giving your children rules without the gospel.
Mm. Amen.
And, you know, and that, and in our own church, we see that. I mean, people, we meet many people who come to us and talk to us about coming to a church and so on. And I mean, stories I hear out there of really abuse. you know, and I mean spiritual abuse, that people are totally slain down by rules, and often rules that are not even in Scripture. But the real fear and admonition of the real Lord.
Amen.
All those things we talked about, the hope, the joy, the freedom, the obedience out of love, totally neglected.
And you, of course, as I've mentioned before, you've seen this firsthand. You know, the European culture is ahead of us. Sadly, it's getting less ahead. We're in the business of trying to catch up. And sadly, we're doing a better job of catching up than we are distancing ourselves from that culture. But this tyranny of the worship of man is, in effect, what's brought about the downfall of that culture. You think that's a correct assessment?
Oh, it's absolutely correct. Just think about the sad history. I mean, we had the Reformation in Europe. We had more blessings than America ever had. You know, we had a continent almost that was almost entirely Christian.
Mm.
And I'm not talking about some shallow Christianity, deep Christianity. People would risk their lives for their faith. There was strong faith. And then generation after generation, we gave that up, and look where Europe is now. Mm. We have families that, you know, we are ahead of America in this respect. Families are torn apart. The government was successful in luring people to pursue the world's success and the world's glory, and both parents go to work. The children are being educated by the government from 5 years old. We have in Austria a new law with obligatory kindergarten now, so the government gets my children at five. And if you look at the spiritual state, I mean, Austria has 0.01% evangelicals.
Mm.
I mean, that's something that should bring us to tears.
Mm.
I mean, the majority of people, I would say 99% of people in Austria have never heard the gospel in their entire life. And we're talking about the areas where the heart of the Reformation was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we learn from that?
Well, we should. The question is, are we? And I think that there are more and more folks here who are not able to articulate the gospel. You know, that they just have some idea, well, I got saved and you know, that was the end of it. I could live any way that I want to because I said I got saved. And
that's a false gospel. I hear this all the time.
Mm.
I walked the aisle years ago. I have my ticket to heaven.
Mm.
And now I can continue fed up and happy as I am. You know, I'm complacent. I go to Disneyland. I enjoy this world's pleasures because I walk the aisle.
Mm.
And people should not fool themselves. That's not Christianity.
No. And neither are we talking about asceticism where, you know, we just make Christianity a grind-it-out thing. What we're talking about is the joy of knowing God in every particular situation of life, which is different than the idea of pleasure first. And if we raise our children to be pleasure warriors, in other words, people who are going to pursue pleasure above anything else, we're beginning to get something which is going to help us mimic where Europe has been and where Europe is. And instead, we have to prepare our children for the joy of suffering before the cross.
I have pleasures too. You know, I can go, I can have a roller coaster ride, and I can glorify God, and I enjoy it. I'm grateful. I sometimes sit on my back porch and look, and I said, well, God has been good to us, so pleasure does have a part in our life.
Amen.
But it's exactly as you say. If pleasure becomes God, then we're doomed.
And again, what does Paul warn against when he talks about the great resurrection chapter in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians? You know, if only for this life we have hope, we're of all men to be pitied. And I think too many of us as Christians, which is what I hear you saying, too many of us as Christians have placed all of our hopes in making this life something that is enjoyable.
Yes, and exactly that is the big misconception, because this life can be over in this very minute.
Well, amen.
I mean, what a sad hope it is.
It is. You know, and again, I haven't mentioned this a whole lot on the program, but, you know, as you know, my wife was diagnosed with a very deadly form of cancer, you know, over 2 years now. And you can look at that one form. You can look at these this brain tumor, this glioblastoma, and the death sentence is almost universal. And you can look at that and say, wow, what a bad thing. Or you can look at that and say that the sovereign God has brought these about for his purposes, and he will give my wife life and breath just as long as he desires. There's hope and joy in that. You know, we're excited about what God's doing in terms of healing Ruth, but our lives are in his hands. All of our lives are in his hands, which is what you're saying. And I think Europe, and we'll get this coming up in the next break, but I think Europe has gotten to the point where they really believe that their life is in their hands.
Yes, Europeans are very autonomous. When you mention God, all you will reap is laughter. And we don't need God. Mm. We have everything we need. And one of the reasons for that is that, and that was Marx's idea to replace God by government. They cannot. Yes. There is no risk, because even if they go bankrupt, the government will keep them alive, and they will give them everything they need. And therefore, their hopes are on all things, but not on God.
Okay, we're going to pick this up in the next segment, but again, I hope you're listening carefully here. That was not a political statement that Sasha just made. That was a statement of historical truth for what's really happened. He's not being conservative or liberal. He's talking about truth. And if we understand truth from a biblical perspective, the truth is what sets us free. And that's what we are passionately talking about today. We thank you for joining us. So we've got one final segment. We'll be back in 2 minutes. So get that next cup of coffee and be back and ready to go with us. Thank you for being here.
This is Hugh Hewitt for the townhall.com Weekend Journal. Each week we have the newsmakers.
You have to close our borders in the sense that we have to know who's coming into this country.
They're basically presenting children who believe that they are the wrong gender and want to change gender. And it's being presented that parents should allow these children to simply declare themselves to be other than what they are.
Don't miss this week's townhall.com Weekend Journal, where we bring clarity to the week's events.
Sunday evening at 7 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Don't we all want solid biblical resources we can trust when it comes to faith and family issues? Shepherd Press certainly qualifies. Shepherd Press is committed to providing God's people with solid biblical books and materials. They focus on heart issues rather than performance issues, authentic change that works from the inside out. At Shepherd Press, you'll find books, articles, and a regularly updated blog that will provide a forum for ongoing discussion of issues related to parenting and Christian living. For more information, go to shepherdpress.com.
God, thank you so much for
Daddy, who are you talking to?
I'm praying to God, Peanut.
But you don't have your eyes closed. Can God still hear you with your eyes open?
The more you pray, the more your children learn about God.
God is everywhere, and He's here in your heart. He will never leave you or let you down.
Just like you?
Even better, Peanut.
Pray with your family regularly and watch your relationships thrive. For more family prayer tips, visit facebook.com/makeeverydaycount.
You found Christian Talk 660.
You're listening to True World View Cafe, brought to you by Shepherd Press. To hear interviews and find cultural and practical Christian resources, visit the website shepherdpress.com. And now let's continue with True World View Cafe. And here's your host, Jay Yance.
And welcome back in for our final segment. My guest is Sasha Wallicord, a good friend, pastor, educator, litigator, professor. And so, Sasha, we're glad you're here with us. And one of the things I enjoy this conversation so much is that it's so similar to the types of thoughts of conversations I've had with my good friend Ted Tripp over the years, and his passion for reaching families and seeing them think God's thoughts after God, which is a wonderful goal for us to achieve. And just before the break, you were talking about how things in Europe, and just a couple more minutes on this, but how things in Europe have kind of drifted off because of the value, the supposed value, the false value of the autonomy of the human spirit. And that doesn't really result in freedom at all. It makes it susceptible to folks like Karl Marx and others, and susceptible to the thoughts of Kant, and you know, you can't talk about Marx without talking about Kant and without talking about where it wound up in terms of the nihilism of Nietzsche. And we can't do a philosophy course, but you've seen firsthand what those kind of things bring to people who have lived for the autonomy of man. Give us a sense of that, Sasha.
Well, that's you couldn't describe it any better. That's exactly what Marx stood for, replace God and man with each other, you know. And he wanted Marx, as so many philosophers who have harmed Christianity, were decided enemies of Christianity. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk of Sigmund Freud, for example, who had a strong impact. You know, talk of Nietzsche, you just mentioned him, but that was Karl Marx's goal. You know, man is autonomous. There is no God, and that's exactly the philosophy he provided, that we don't need any transcendence. All we need is man. And it's basically socialism, communism, whatever you want to call it, it's basically the application of the humanism of the French Revolution, which is basically the application of what the serpent said in the garden. Mm. We can be like God, so we don't need a God. We are our own God. And that's very much the self-sufficiency that Europeans feel. They think that they don't need anything but themselves. We can do it. Now, the whole European idea when it comes to European Union is the epitome of this thought. Because how the European Union was sold to the European countries was, we can unite, we can do it, we can create peace on Earth. All the things that humans have never been able to do and will never be able to do in this world, and where they have to turn to God for. Mm. So, and that's the whole European idea, is the epitome of this kind of self-autonomous, self-sufficient mindset. And look where it has brought Europe. Europe is a basically secular continent, and the religion that they hold is called tolerance. Mm-hmm. Tolerance is not really tolerance, it's just the term being used for something that's totally different. Yeah. Tolerance in Europe means you can be anything you want as long as it's not a biblical Christian. And that's what it really is, because if I go to Europe and say, man, I believe, I'm praying to stones or to rocks or to squirrels or to frogs, it doesn't matter, everybody will smile kindly and be very tolerant. But as soon as you bring scripture into the game, the party's over. Mm. People will get very defensive, very aggressive, and that's encouraging for me. Mm. Because that's exactly what scripture tells us what the world would do. They are tolerant against Islam, they're tolerant against Mormonism, they're tolerant against all kinds of religions, but not biblical Christianity.
Okay, now, Sasha, you make a great point here, and we'll just briefly touch on this before we close things out in our thinking. But you make a great point. We are so Christians, we have the relevant answer here, and we turn away from it. So the problem with European thought is the same problem that was presented in the garden.
Yes, it is the same mindset. Mm-hmm. And there's only one way to confront it. There's only one way to deal with it. God has said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the proper answer. We don't need to be smart. We don't need to find our own ways to deal with it. All we have to do is turn to the truth of God. I mean, it's really not hard. And faithfully live according to God's truth and respond to it. But we have become so cornered by the world and the secularists. We have so much allowed them to make defeatists out of us,
mm-hmm.
that we don't even dare. I give you a little example. It just takes 10 to 20 seconds. There was a member of my church. I was in Europe at the time, and he texted me, or he emailed me, and he said, please engage. I'm on a blog here. I sent a letter to the editor, to a newspaper about Christianity, and there is an atheist on the blog there. He's intimidating everybody. Could you please engage? And I did engage because I wanted to help him. And the Christians, bless their heart, all they said is, Jesus is Lord, you know, or in a way helplessly insulting the atheist. And he triumphed there on that blog.
Mm.
And I engaged him in the conversation through that blog, and at the end I challenged him for a public debate. Because I said, if you're so sure about what you say, there should be no problem you debating me publicly in front of many people. And you wouldn't believe it, he backed out.
Oh,
We have allowed the world to put us on the defense, and that's not where we belong.
Amen. Amen. All right, so again, what we're talking about here, if the situation is the same as in the garden, man's supposed autonomy as opposed to the sovereignty of God, then the hope is also the same in the garden. As you say, it's not hard, but apart from the new heart given to us by Christ, it's impossible. But once I have been given that heart, then dying to myself, having the humility to say that Jesus is Lord and live his life, then in that sense, it's not a hard thing. It's a matter of faith, of clinging to God. And I think that's where we have dropped the ball with our children. We're trying to protect them from making those hard decisions in life that have to do with putting God first by thinking, well, we can kind of ease our way into that. And I think that's the trap that Eve walked into those thousands of years ago in the garden.
Yes, and the question remains for us Christians, what if we really believe what we say we believe? What if we would die to ourselves and live unto Christ? What if all those things that we claim we are, we would really live out?
Mm.
The world would look different, and the world would look at us differently.
Mm.
But up to now, as it looks in Christianity and evangelicalism right now, we do a lot of talk, but we don't do a lot of work.
So our hope, then, is in embracing the things of Christ, living truly as being citizens of another place, you know, another world kingdom, another kingdom, and giving allegiance to that. That provides us the opportunity to demonstrate real hope and compassion, correct?
Real hope and compassion, and being positive about it, not blasting a chief justice for his legal opinion,
mm-hmm.
not blasting politicians, but going and making a difference in hope, love, and kindness.
Amen. That, Sasha, I think, is the key. You know, if all we do is you know, blast the Chief Justice, you know, blast Bush, you know, and everybody's blasting Bush now. It's now back in view again. Even Republicans are doing it because of Roberts.
Yeah.
We are just as limited, just as secular as the world because we don't realize we serve the Lord and Lord, King of Kings. If he was able to, you know, the situation in Europe was when the Reformation hit was much bleaker than what we face today, and God used that to turn you know, things around there. We have the same hope today. Is that correct?
Yes, and we are not even remotely as persecuted as the Europeans were in the beginning of the 16th century or as the Christians were under Nero. You know, there's a lot of lamenting and a lot of doomsday talking how hard it is and how persecuted we are. Nothing at all. That has become an excuse for us to hide out. We have to be out there, proclaim Christ, and having an impact in this world for the better. We have to bring Christ and his word to all areas of life. That's what we have to do, not to hide out and cry how bad it has gotten.
So if we hide out and cry in that sense, the people that it's going to affect most profoundly are our children, which
exactly.
brings us back to where we started. We have to bring that message of hope to them. And if we bring them that message of hope, then that's the message that we have to bring to a world which is in desperate need of that hope. Sasha, I've got about 30 seconds for you to sum up, and then I'll finish it off. But give us a brief summary of your thoughts here. And again, I can't thank you enough for being with us on True Worldview Cafe today.
Well, I thank you. Let me put it this way. Is there hope for America? There is always hope for every country in the world. If we turn back to Christ, if we study his word, if we bow under his reign and serve him joyfully, that then, if we do that, there is hope always and at any time. We must not hide out. We must not be doomsday talkers. We must be the saints again who believe in their God, who has all things under his control.
Amen. Amen. Those are the things that we have hope for. It's brothers and sisters, this is a message that we can give to each other, to our children. It's something that, you know, tomorrow when you go to church, focus on those kinds of things. Be in a church where hope is given. Don't be dragged under by the difficulties of our day. Sasha, we're on our way out the door here. Thank you so much for being here. We pray for you and your ministry. And folks, we thank you for being with us today. We're excited to have this opportunity to talk about the real basis of hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.